Okay. Hello, welcome to the Auditory Hallucinations Podcast. Thank you for joining us. This week we're going to be talking about the Mothman, the super flap that occurred in 1966 in the area of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and just over the Ohio River in Ohio as well, arguably culminating with the collapse of the Silver Bridge later that year in December. Though many would say that's not the end of the story. And now we'll take it away.
Nah, dude, it's
So,
aliens.
aliens do play into this. We'll go. The Mothman's deep.
Where's
Aliens
Drawn
plan,
like an
Men in
alien,
Black.
man?
Men in Black plan. Yeah, he
Yeah,
kind of
he's
does
like
the
a
movie.
fucking, he's like a 7 foot or 8 foot tall,
7 foot
creature.
tall creature, like a slate gray almost,
Yeah.
with two large wings with about a 10 foot wingspan, which
Imagine
absolute
just being held by that.
10 foot wingspan though. That these are wings that he's almost never reported to be flapping, which is interesting. He lifts off the ground without flapping the wings, so just shoots in the air and disappears.
I love how everyone just ignored what I said.
I intentionally ignored that. That was
I was gonna say something about it's because of your you haven't had been held in a long time and you want Mothman to like cuddle you or some shit.
Yeah,
Well,
kind of.
this is already derailed. We're already What, you
having
don't want to
a
have sex with
weird.
Mothman?
No, not really. It's a 7 foot tall
Well, he might want to have
Mothman.
sex with you, so you better watch out.
I don't consent.
God, they
So,
never
people
do.
disappear. Yeah, so. Well then, yeah, no, 7 foot tall moth, slate gray. Interestingly enough, two glowing red eyes, mostly described as glowing internally, not like eye shine like a deer has, where it's reflecting light on its quote unquote head. It doesn't really have a head. The eye is just kind of float above its shoulders. You could say it's kind of like a dome, almost like a. I don't know. I guess it looks like a Kilroy or something,
Is
like
he
how it's kind
sounds
of
like
shaped.
a
Light.
spirit or something.
What do you say?
He
Nick,
attracted to
what do you say?
light?
No, I don't think particularly. He
Unless
creates light with his
maybe we could
eyes.
set up a big bug zapper for get rid of him.
We could, but I don't know. I don't think we need to do that. I don't think he's been seen regularly for quite a while.
Oh.
Think there's much to get rid of right now.
Maybe the government did that already.
It's possible.
You're
Yeah, some
automatically
people
assuming this isn't
actually.
a government drone or something.
Some people, well, not a drone in 66, most likely, but some people thought it was a wild theory people put out there. Was that Mothman is, I know we're getting kind of ahead of ourselves with like what people think about it, but it's a that it's a like the government was trying to make like monsters to fight in the Vietnam War. And then Mothman was a prototype.
That'd be pretty cool. That matches
Which
up
is
with this one account in Vietnam, where these guys said that they saw glowing lizards or something like that.
yeah, I think there's quite a few cryptids from Vietnam,
Yeah.
which is interesting.
To be fair, all of them were filled to the brim with drugs. So,
Oh, yeah. I
like,
mean, when you
now that you
mix,
say that,
they might have just been on acid.
yeah.
When you mix
So.
Agent Orange and wildlife together, God knows what kind of fucking
VC and
X-Men you've
glowing
created in there.
lizards.
That's a theory about the Mothman too, because actually the sightings really kind of started and picked up around the TNT area in Point Pleasant, which was a former munitions dump, right? And then they decided that after that they're going to use it to pour chemical waste. So it's just a heavily polluted like wildlife area
The
that
Toxic Avenger, man.
yeah, some people thought essentially like it was a creature that was created by toxic waste. It's in the 60s now. We probably know like maybe you get like a goat with like one eye or something like that, or like a deer
So it's
with
kind of like the
one eye.
American Godzilla, where Godzilla was created by the Japanese to kind of talk about the threat, the nuclear radiation threat, and we kind of
That's
made some kind of clusterfuck over here in the United States.
what some people kind of thought, except they thought it was like a legitimate, like not like made up by the government, like a legitimate like moth that had like gone wild.
Godzilla is real too, dude.
Really, more like a bird. I don't know
Yeah.
about that, Brad.
How do you guys
I'm gonna
feel
have to
about Great Ape
fact check
being a kaiju?
I don't
Wait,
know.
did you say Grape Ape being a kaiju? Yeah.
I don't even know what Grape Ape is.
Look him up.
Yeah, okay. I'll look them up. You guys can keep talking while I look them
Yeah.
up.
I
Grape Ape.
think Mothman might potentially be an alien.
Okay.
I mean, anything that flies can be an alien.
When I look at a lot of tape, I just get weed strains.
A lot of a lot of shit that people report that flies around. That's all spooky. Everybody, there's two things. And this is, if it makes it into the conversation later with the whole dogman thing, a lot of people always put these things into two camps, or I guess three. Either it's a former creature we've never come across before, it's an interdimensional entity, demon, whatever, or it's an alien.
Like a vampire.
With Mothman, I think it's going to be, because there's nothing else in the world that, there's nothing else in the world that I can think of that falls into the camp of what a Mothman would look like. I think I remember one of the reports, somebody said it was like a crane or something, where, you know how a crane stands in the water with one leg?
Yeah.
Apparently, if you shine a light into its eyes, it glows red.
Some people thought it was a crane. That's one of the theories.
Yeah, they're like, oh yeah, it's just a crane. It's like, how many cranes are there in Pennsylvania?
Well, this is like West Virginia, but...
Or West Virginia.
But,
I mean...
And also, that's why I brought up earlier that... people specifically point out that the glow seemed to be emanating from the creature, which is often reported in Bigfoot encounters as well, where the glow, it's called eye glow as opposed to eye shine. Like if I shine a light in a deer, like my cat, its eyes are going to shine back, but they don't glow. This the eyes are emanating light that lights up the surrounding areas. And yeah, so a lot of people think, like, obviously you pointed out, like, there's three, like, main realms of, like, thought on this. It's either a cryptid, so an undiscovered animal, but just a physical animal, and an alien coming from space, and an interdimensional being coming from another dimension, which I think you can, I use the term alien a lot. I don't believe in aliens from space, particularly, but it's a convenient term, and it just means not from here. So I think an interdimensional could also be an alien. And there's the weird thing is there's elements of everything in this lab. There's a cryptid sighting a year beforehand. There's UFO sightings throughout the lab. And there's arguably, like, encounters with, like, Fae, which are extra-dimensional beings, or interdimensional beings.
Yeah. Maybe it's all of them.
Well, I remember it was blamed for the collapse of the bridge. But I read a Popular Mechanics article that was like, nah, the bridge was just built shitly. They cheaped out, and instead of building it the way they should, they built it shitly. And they wanted to get it done and done fast so the person that was building it could build another bridge downstream. And it turns out that when that bridge collapsed into the Ohio River, they figured out, oh, yeah, because they didn't build the, I think it was the truss, the metal linkages that go across the bottom and shit. The metal I-beams were not created correctly, and they brought down they took down the other bridge too. So I don't think a creature that flies around took the bridge down. I think a lot of people, the way they recount the story, or the way they interpret it, I should say, is Mothman predicted the bridge falling somehow by showing up on it and around it a lot. And he's been seen as this
harbinger of doom.
Yeah, harbinger of doom, that, like, bad shit happens before he shows up and somebody dies, or he shows up and a bridge collapses, or some crazy-ass thing.
Like, there was supposed to be the black wing thing above Chernobyl, but, I think that was largely debunked.
It was probably a hoax.
And then, well, not just a hoax, but, like, so American Monsters released an article about it in 2005, and, the guy who wrote the article has since said, like, it was shoddy research. Because I listened to his podcast on Mothman. Mm-hmm. So it was shoddy research. He says, I went back in time to figure out who came up with this fake story about, like, the Harbinger of Doom and things like that in, like, Chernobyl. Which, looking back, is clearly not true. And lo and behold, it was me. So, and he's like, I
forgot about his own research.
It's not good.
I am the problem.
15 years later, he released the Mothman stuff. So
the call is coming from inside the house, sir.
The Harbinger of Doom sort of thing, like with the Silver Bridge Cloud, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe that's largely popularized by John Keel's book, The Mothman Prophecies, where he kind of creates a narrative.
My thing is, like...
Oh, yeah, he creates a narrative so he can sell the book. I mean, so this is partly one of the downsides of this whole thing, is that town that this event happened in, where the bridge collapsed, it was a major disaster for that town. It cut off a bunch of business to Ohio. And that town basically fell apart. So if you look into this Mothman shit, You have to understand that a lot of locals and the people that have been looking into this since the 60s have, a lot of them have a financial gain from it, because that town, like every other town in the Rust Belt where I live, has basically fallen apart since the 60s. So they're doing the damage to attract tourists.
The thing about like Bigfoot and stuff too is a lot of places turn their area like in like a mystery spot of some kind, you know?
Yeah, some do. Definitely not as much because it's so widespread now.
Yeah.
But Mothman, like Point Pleasant, West Virginia, has a Mothman festival every year. And it's
right.
Point Pleasant is interesting in the fact that, much like many Rust Belt towns, you could say like the population then was larger than the population now.
Mm-hmm.
Then it had the area had a population of 6,000, I believe. Now it's like 4,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like every other town in Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, that it was a coal mine town or on the Ohio River kind of town. They're all falling apart, or they all fell apart.
I know. I mean, I used to live along the Allegheny for a bit in one of those towns, and like it was, you know, the factory, there was a brick factory that was falling apart in the town. There was no, it was just a dilapidated building.
If it's a brick factory and it's made out of bricks, how can it fall apart?
I just find it so fascinating that that these things kind of pop up randomly, and like Mothman is fairly new compared to other cryptids.
Not really. I mean, like yes and no. Like obviously, like Bigfoot is arguably one of the oldest.
Yeah.
You know, there's wild man sightings that are essentially analogous to Bigfoot, going way back to the Middle Ages,
right?
And maybe even before, but And, like, winged humanoids are not, like, a new thing. But Mothman as a phenomenon came about in 66.
Yeah.
So, in September of 66, I believe. And then it kind of, like, it didn't stop there. Like, recently there's been, like, over the past couple years, there's been a flap of flying humanoids being seen over Chicago.
That's interesting.
Chicago. What the fuck are you doing in Chicago?
There's a lot of them being seen over Chicago, and then but most of like the places it's been attributed since, are just provable hoaxes. Like,
right,
and people just say it because they think like, oh, it's it fits. Like people claim that before. Never mind. I'm not gonna say that. We can't say that, or we'll get demonetized. Before a tragedy at the World Trade Center, Mothman was allegedly seen, but this is just not true. There was no sightings of Mothman.
Right.
But
I wonder, now that you bring that up, if we go back and look at other shit like mass shootings or something, if we'd see like people like, oh yeah, I saw Mothman, he was hanging out in a tree.
Yeah, I mean, people have those reactions around tragedy, but, like,
I think
those reactions are largely because of the idea that Mothman stopped. Like, the reason that the idea of the Silver Bridge collapse being, like, the finality of Mothman is because most people believe that the strangeness ended and the sightings stopped when the Silver Bridge collapsed. That's not true. There were Mothman sightings in the area a little bit after the Silver Bridge collapse, and the strangeness did not end. There were still UFO sightings in the area and things like that. And the UFO sightings, I think there's arguably more UFO sightings than there are Mothman sightings.
Probably.
I think in the year of 1966 or something like that, maybe, don't quote me on that, I think there were like 700 sightings of UFOs.
I have a question, because
in a region of 6,000 people.
To bring it into like reality and base it somewhere, right? There are bats that are quite big, not 9 feet tall, but, you know.
Yeah, there's fruit bats that are very large. That's a common explanation for our own local cryptid, the Jersey Devil.
Right. I'm always curious if it has something to do with that, right? Something with a large wingspan is going to look a lot bigger than it actually is, right?
Well, that's why the crane was so such a popular one, because cranes get big. And there was a big white barn owl killed in the area as well during the flap. And once that happened, a lot of people said, oh, well, that was the Mothman. It's like, well, no, I mean, it's a white barn owl. It's not gray. And the biggest issue to me is the fact that it has got eye glow and that it doesn't flap its wings. That's one of the biggest issues.
Yeah.
And that it's silent.
Well, it glides, right? Not the whole thing.
Yeah, it glides. Or it just floats, kind of, and glides towards you. Yeah, it's silent. It doesn't actually, like, make sound.
Really. That's interesting.
I don't know if there's a recorded instance where it, like, made any sort of noise. Now, a lot of noises were heard, especially in like with electronics and stuff. Weird phone calls coming in throughout the town, weird beeping on the radio, garbled words over the phone, coming from nowhere, like phones that were unplugged, getting calls, stuff like that.
You have to wonder, there's an idea of like death omens, right? And
yeah,
stuff. But nobody, people die in the when the bridge collapsed?
A lot of people died in the bridge collapse. It was a tragedy.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was like 30 or 60 people, if I remember.
Yeah, it was like 60, I think. It was, and that's one of the things, too, that, like, the flap did kind of, like, spiritually end when the bridge collapsed, because people didn't have time to think about Mothman anymore. They had time to think about, like, the fact that the bridge through a town had just collapsed and killed, like, 60 people that they knew.
Now, when you say the flap, is this nomenclature the event? Yeah,
flap is just a term used in, like, paranormal or UFO events where, like, people see, like, a lot of people in one area during a short time frame have a similar experience. So, like, the Mothman would be, like, you could call a Mothman a super flap, I think I've heard it called, because I don't know if there's anything bigger in American or maybe even world history. With a paranormal sighting, like a paranormal sighting and a group of paranormal events that go on for that long and touch that many people. I mean, the sheer amount of sightings of both Mothman, UFOs, and weird, like, Men in Black people is insane during that year.
Can we talk about the Men in Black? I'm curious about that, because I this is all new to me, because I didn't get to do any research on this topic.
Yeah, the Men in Black thing is, well, it's interesting because there's, you know, it's basically it's your typical Men in Black. They show up to even like the researchers and say, like, can't talk about this anymore. You can't be, you cannot be, you know, publishing reports of UFOs and stuff like that.
Right.
And they were more concerned with the UFOs than they were with the Mothman. But the Mothman obviously plays in.
You know, I find it interesting because, I mean, in reality, like, Men in Black, I mean, it's probably some part of the State Department that we don't know about.
Maybe.
Coming and saying, hey, you can't talk about this. This is, it's either an experimental aircraft or something that they're researching that people should not know about. Right? I just find it's pretty interesting phenomenon that things, happens a lot.
The encounters with the men in black are interesting because they're usually socially awkward men who don't seem. Yeah, I mean, government officials are all awkward.
I was going to say
that,
but they must be furries.
Awkward. Not just, oh boy, not just awkward, but
but it's like they don't, they all speak in a monotone, no pitch voice.
They're very like,
the way they speak makes them seem like they're emulating English rather than like native speaking English speakers, or even people who've learned English from overseas. They often have unplaceable accents, and they don't really speak great English. In fact,
and they drive cars from the 50s.
Yes. Which during 66 isn't as weird, but nowadays it's much weirder. Yeah, and
if I saw somebody show up in a 60-year-old Chevy or a 60-year-old Ford, I mean, that's an immediate red flag. Nobody drives that shit anymore.
I'd expect the Carry On My Wayward Son to start playing. But
yeah. What do you call it? The interesting, a lot of people encounter Men in Black. Basically, what they say is, oh, it was like people who don't know about how humans like act and how like humans talk are putting on their best effort to look and talk like humans and think they're doing a great job, but they don't realize that they're not.
Okay. Interesting. And they started showing up around the time that the sightings started happening for UFOs and stuff over there. Okay.
Yeah, a little bit later in the sightings, I believe, and then Black showed up. It was more so when people started. We talked about too.
Mm-hmm. It was more so when people started looking into it. Like, back in the 40s and the 50s, everybody believed the government just because. And then the 60s and 70s changed all that. So then that's when these sightings of G-men started showing up.
Yeah. And a lot of people, like, I don't necessarily think that Men in Black are like government agents or anything like that. I think there's a lot of somewhat interesting tangential connections to, like, fairy lore from Europe, where it's
always
like,
fairies with you.
Well, you gotta understand that, like, it's relative. I'd say it's relatively new. It's not that new, but it's relatively new in, like, the field of, like, paranormal and cryptids, like, to connections with fairies. Like, I guess the prominent researcher right now would be Joshua Cutchin and, like, maybe Patrick Harper, but he's more, like, daemons and, like, Jungian archetypes, which kind of connects. But who was it? I don't remember the guy's name. He wrote the book Passport to Magonia, which is what he called Fairyland. And basically, it's the idea that these cryptids and things and UFOs are coming through like window areas where the veil is thin, and they're popping the area for a short enough time, and then obviously the flap ends or the sighting end when the veil closes up. Yeah, and like Bigfoot's highly tied into fairy lore with abductions, but that's one of the things with like fairy lore in Europe is a lot of the times like fairies will think that they're like doing a pretty good job passing themselves off as humans, but they're not.
Right.
And you can tell, like, you can tell there's something wrong, even if they look like humans. So, like, that's very similar to Men in Black. One of the guys in Point Pleasant as well, during the Mothman flap, he was described as having, everyone that saw him noted this, that he had abnormally long fingers, like, longer than a human should be, which is, like, gives you the ick if you see that.
Yeah.
You know, and,
don't say ick. don't say ick.
Don't say ick.
They call it the uncanny valley, right, when it comes to stuff like that.
The uncanny valley of something that is human looking but not quite human, which is similar like a mannequin, like a face painted.
Right. Well, that's why people have of that natural fear of like mannequins and stuff like that.
Or like a wax figure.
Yeah. Figures creep me the fuck out, man.
What the uncanny valley to me like really says is that at some point in our history, there was a something that humans were coming in contact regularly with something that looked like us, but it wasn't us and was dangerous.
Well, that's
dangerous. We wouldn't have the uncanny valley. It would be like, okay, it looks like us, but it's not us. Oh well.
So there's also the idea that, like, I mean, look at how animals are set up, right? You have your prey animals, predators, right, and the way their eyes are set up on their face.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of people, from what I understand, say that, like, that natural, like, uncomfortability and, like, fear comes from that, right? It's, like, something being out of place means that something may be trying to, like, you know, prey on
you. Prey on you. So, even though we are predators, not prey.
Yeah, well, so that's the thing. We're not necessarily an apex predator.
Well, arguably are the apex predator. But,
well, we use tools that no animal would ever use. I mean, if I see dolphins start launching ICBMs out of the ocean, I'll be concerned.
Right. Well, yeah. But
that is like the net. That's how humans function. That is how they're made to function. They naturally, we use tools.
Yeah. In the scope of stuff like this, right? In the scope of cryptids and like the unknown, right? Generally, you have to treat it as like humans may or may not be an apex predator now. So
with cryptids, absolutely, yeah, you got to look at it in the
when you put aliens into the equation, yeah, we're not the apex. Right. We're apex on this planet, maybe, but we're not apex in the universe.
In the conversation of that uncanny valley and prey and predator, right? That
it's kind of like how humans have a tendency to not look up, right?
Right.
That's when you get that chill on your back because you're bumping through the woods, you're going through somewhere. You never have. A lot of people don't have the tendency of looking up. I don't know why.
I have an interesting anecdote with that. Actually, that's interesting. I never thought about that. But I was when I worked in state parks. I was out with the ranger, and we were putting up game cameras and checking game cameras for trespassing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Where are they?" He's like, "We put them up in the tree." I'm like, "Oh, that's right." He's like, "Yeah, no one ever looks up. No. They look at eye level for these cameras, or they look down. Nobody ever looks up in the tree and expects a game camera." I'm like, "Oh, that's
because nobody,
smart.
Because normal humans in their day to day lives don't have to look up. Everything they usually interact with is either lower than eye level or at eye level.
We also use our peripheral,
and we use peripheral, and also like, there's no real, we're not really." Even when we were like hunter gatherers, we weren't really preyed upon by things in trees.
No.
All of our threats were ground level. Like wolves and bears and stuff like that, they don't climb trees.
Right.
Bears do.
They don't climb trees to hunt, though. They climb trees to flee and to scavenge, but they don't climb trees to hunt typically. They're not going to ambush you from a tree. We didn't evolve around ambush predators. We didn't
Commando bears jumping out of 15 foot trees.
So that that'd be terrifying. Begs the question of if humans don't look up, how did how, like the spotting of Mothman is like it's like that's like
well
probably terrifying.
As you said, peripheral vision, if you see in your peripheral huge glowing eyes. Or and if you're looking for Mothman, you're gonna be looking up.
Yeah. Well, if you're looking for anything in general, you're gonna be looking for stuff that looks like it too, to be fair.
Yeah. The first people to see it and attacked their car. That's how they saw it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember reading that.
The first sighting was, the first sighting it attacked their car.
Down in the middle of the road.
Down and then it flew after them at over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It kept pace with their vehicle at 100 miles an hour. And then
110, I think.
110. Something, it was over 100. So and then,
if the wings aren't flapping, half of me does think it could be a military drone, like experimental, that they just were not talking about in the 50s.
Well, I don't think we have the technology in general for that in the 50s and 60s.
Well,
I think you need better computers than the ones available then.
Well, so here's something completely anecdotal, but we were training pigeons to guide shells from battleships. You're reading on that?
No, I have not done any reading on that, but I know we use pigeons to guide things.
That's so the whole scam behind that was we trained pigeons on pictures that look like ships, and what they thought they were going to do was fire these shells in the air, and they would basically have a pigeon in the nose cone, and it would peck at the screen as the shell was coming down on a ship. And every time they would peck the screen, it would like change the fins on the artillery shell to like move it in the air. But nobody ever thought about the G forces a pigeon would experience when it's getting fired out of the 17 and. So when you're firing these shells out of 200, I'm thinking in metrics, but like 200 and some centimeter or millimeter cannons, talking about like Yamato, or you're talking about like Iowa class or Arizona class, these giant fucking guns. They're like, this pigeon's gonna pull about 17 G's for a quarter of a second as it flies out of the front of it.
Yeah, that pigeon turned into freaking liquid in that quarter of a second.
Is what it is.
Yeah,
dog.
I mean, I think they actually got somewhere with it. I think they ended up dropping them from planes instead of shooting them out of artillery, out of cannons.
That makes
sense. Yeah, I think that's where they ended up with it, and they got pretty far, but then they realized that it was stupid because they were just like, oh, we're just gonna saturate the target with shells.
Yeah. Well, all right. I will say I don't really buy the whole military drone sort of thing. Especially to there's no rotors, there's no sound to it. Even if it was a drone, you would still think it would need to flap to take off. That doesn't explain how it just shoots up into the air. There's no, not like you see rocket boosters blowing up off the ground.
No, this is
no sound and no color.
This is them using Nikola Tesla's technology they got from his apartment when he died in 1943 or whatever, and they figured out they could use some like electromagnetic engines or something to like make shit like hover.
We'll do an episode on Tesla. I'm not decided whether he was a genius or like a crazy hack.
He could have been.
I think he was both.
He might have been both. Yeah.
I think all geniuses are crazy hacks because nobody ever understands their genius. You know, it's like everybody. It's like Mark Zuckerberg's a lizard. I mean, he is a lizard. He's just antisocial as shit.
Yeah. The real question with Tesla though is like how much of what he said was true and how much was just insane.
Well, he thought he was picking up signals from Mars through his shit.
We can go into this in another episode. I think Tesla would be an interesting one to do.
I'm looking into something that could be an explanation, right? RC controlled aircraft.
The radio controlled aircraft. But once again, that doesn't explain the lack of sound and the lack of visible propulsion systems.
That's true.
And that thing would have to be huge. That's a huge RC helicopter plane thing.
And people have also pointed out that it can't be a physical animal either, because just like physics speaking, you can't have a 7 foot tall bird suspended by 10 foot wide wings. Yeah. A wingspan of 10 feet does not suspend something 7 feet tall.
No, but there have been cases where I remember, I think it was an ad for headphones or something, where they had like a crow and an owl and something, some other flying bird, and they flew him over a bunch of microphones, and the owl was silent. He had to flap his wings to move, but he was silent when flapping those wings, just because the way their wings are designed.
No, I mean,
okay, that's fair. But also, there's no flapping of wings. That yes, this is also true. There is no flapping of wings, though.
Yeah, I know.
That's just the weird thing.
So the only thing that would make sense that I could buy would be some kind of remote controlled levitation, like alternate current that they stole from Tesla, or it's a fucking demon.
I think it's a paranormal creature.
Personally. I mean, yeah, I'm just trying to do what humans do and rationalize it, right, of what it could be, and then go into what. You know, like the paranormal.
This is fair. I think it's a paranormal creature, personally. I think that the stuff around it is very, I think that the stuff that pops up around it is indicative of paranormal activity, including, like, some of the houses that saw it, poltergeist activity in the house afterwards.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Like, you know, what do you call it? Yeah, a lot of paranormal things. Even like I I think I may have said this before. I fall in the realm of UFOs or paranormal entity as well. I don't believe in like little green men from Mars or anything like that. Yeah. I believe that
we have a rover like, on Mars now. So,
well, I mean, from any planet or space at all.
Yeah.
If there is space, as we discussed in the first episode. I believe that UFOs are more paranormal, like akin to like once again like the buzzword would be Fae.
Well, so,
more akin to that.
Yeah.
Especially when you take into account that many UFOs are there's no real craft seen, they're just balls of light. So, such is the case with a lot of the sightings in Point Pleasant, is they're just balls of light that get seen, or just lights in the sky. There's no like physical craft.
If you rule out RC like plane or like, you know, drone technology that we didn't know about. If you rule out all that, rule out an animal, right? Then and we go into like the fairies and the paranormal stuff, like it feels very unique, like as a description compared to like a lot of the other like flying cryptids I've
There was a cryptid similar to it sighted in England at one point. I don't remember what decade, but it was. I think they described it as an owlman, and it's. I think it's important to note when we say mothman, you should not picture a large moth. Its original name was birdman. It's closer to a bird than a moth. Mothman was some copy editor or something put mothman into the paper, and then John Keel like popularized the use of the term mothman.
Yeah, they just kind of ran with it. In reality, it doesn't look like a moth.
No, not at all. It looks like a bird.
Yeah.
And it's actually described as having feathers.
Right. It's interesting. If it was described as a bird, that goes into the Native American folklore. they believed in, like, giant birds.
Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
Which is what I thought we were doing this week, and I actually did a lot of research on that. But it turns out I was incorrect completely.
Yeah.
So,
like you normally are.
Yeah, it's fair enough, but... What do you call it? No, yeah, but not really, though, because the Thunderbirds are actually associated with a large amount of sound. Not no sound.
Interesting.
It's like, it's almost like the fucking name gives it away.
Yeah,
like
well, so, sometimes. If it's a large amount of sound, I don't know. That's interesting.
The wise sage in me is going to say, the most loud sound of all, silence.
Well, that is the thing, right? It's that, it's like an overwhelming amount of sound.
I mean,
turn people deaf.
Would you rather be chased? Would you rather be chased by something that makes a lot of sound or no sound?
Loud.
A lot of sound.
Loud.
Exactly. Because if you can't hear what's chasing you, then you're fucking freaking out that it can be anywhere. I mean, if you know that there's some Mach 2 owl coming down at you, at least you can duck.
As we said last week on the episode, like it was unnerving being in the woods when it was silent and we had our weird.
Oh, I hate that. I absolutely hate that.
You feel off.
Yeah, I felt better knowing that I heard the whistling, honestly. When I heard the whistle, I'm like, okay, there's something happening. Right?
Something happening. There's something. Even if that's the only sound, it's a sound.
Yeah.
I mean, I have tinnitus, so all I hear is ringing if there's nothing going on. But yeah, that would drive me nuts.
Me too.
Yeah.
Now,
when the tinnitus goes away, that's when you have a real problem on your hands.
That's when you start shooting into the brush.
Yeah.
That's when you start shooting into the brush, and you just keep mag dumping into the brush until you can't hear anything anymore.
You don't have a gun, Brad.
I don't know. The Mothman, jury's out on that one.
The jury is out on what it is, especially since it's pretty much never been really seen again since then, as far as I know. It's explicitly winged humanoids, obviously, but seen recently. As recently as 2022, I believe, maybe even 2023.
Yeah, but to be fair, is that people chasing trends and trying to get famous? That's the thing.
Is some one sighting you can say that?
Yeah.
One sighting you can say that? I don't think you can say a flap is chasing fame. But I don't think the Chicago and the Illinois sighting, I don't think that's like people chasing fame. I think people are seeing something out there. There's so many sightings, I think people are seeing something.
For me, when people say that they see things nowadays, I have, because a lot of people post on TikTok about them, right? I have half of mine to think that they're just posting about it because they know that it will get views. They know that.
That's fair. I don't use TikTok or know any of like the cryptid stuff on TikTok. But,
yeah, there's a lot of people.
Well, I'm waiting for somebody.
There's
I'm waiting for somebody to start flying drones over Point Pleasant that look like Mothman and causing all sorts of shit.
Well now that's possible. Like that's the problem, right? So if someone could hoax it with a big ass drone.
It'd be hard to replicate. The lack of sound of the big glowing eyes, a drone that huge is really expensive.
Well, maybe you don't even need the drone itself. I mean, you could probably project something because it's over a river, and I'm sure there's fog and mist when the climate's right.
People weren't seeing it over the river, though.
No,
people were seeing it on the road in the woods.
Right, the area. But now it would be like, oh, well, it doesn't matter where it shows up as long as it shows up. Oh, look at me, I got me a story.
That's fair, but...
Well, it's hard to say with stuff like that. I lean towards the paranormal one, stuff like that, because if it's unexplained and people swear up and down that they saw it and they're not famous because of it, there's no reason for them to be saying that shit.
And it also, it touched people's lives. More. Like, there were, like, stories of some people that had encounters with it who had PTSD for the rest of their life.
Right.
There was one, I don't remember her name, one woman had an encounter with it, and she spent like the rest of her life, she would get in her car, she would never drive anywhere alone in her car, she would always be checking the back seat to make sure it wasn't back there.
That's horrifying.
She would never like stay home alone.
Now I'm going to always check my back
seat. Yeah, she never recovered from seeing it. She died in, I think, like, the 90s or the early 2000s. She never recovered.
That kind of stuff interests me, right? That feeds into the whole demonic stuff, right? Like,
and
demons. But because there's, like, different classifications of demons and such that haunt people and distress them and cause them.
Yeah, there's definitely different types of demons. But, and arguably, like, there were people who thought it was demonic in nature.
Yeah.
Certainly. Even at the time, there were people who thought it was demonic in nature. I've seen it described as like an old forest demon before.
Yeah.
I
mean, who knows, really?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know if like, there's such a thing as like a forest demon.
That just what like a fae is or a fairy is? It's
so obviously I come from like the Christian perspective, and that's debatable. Because like a demon is a fallen angel, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think that like the Fae are like fallen angels or anything.
Then again, if I'm not mistaken, the church had classified Fae and like pagan stuff as demonic in nature as well.
So. You ever notice that the
considered old gods demonic a lot of the time?
You ever notice that the Europeans always whenever they have encounters with like gnomes and shit, it's always like violent and bad and just like It's either violent or they're tricksters or whatever. And then when Americans or Asiatic people have these encounters, it's like usually some kind of spiritual experience, or it's like
it is interesting.
Oh yeah, fox person in the woods. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially the Japanese. The Japanese have this thing about fox spirits and shit in their in their woods, like the yami or whatever.
Negative. Yeah, I thought they were resoundingly negative.
I think it depends. Well, it's like every other, it's like every other forest or spirit thing. There's like good ones and bad ones and shit. It's like over here, we have good, like Bigfoot is like
I think this neutral. Would be a fantastic episode to do from the Bigfoot Japanese folklore. That stuff is really interesting.
Yeah. The big thing with the European
Japanese anime.
Goddamn weeb.
The big thing with European ones, I don't think they're necessarily always negative. I think most of the time they're relatively neutral, and the way that you heed them is what determines how your encounter plays out.
They tell you not to run.
No, yeah, don't run. There's very few things.
Don't run, don't respond.
Cryptid wise or paranormal wise, where you're supposed to just run.
Yeah.
Devil monkeys are like the one like big one that I can think of. That or like Albatwitch in Pennsylvania, which are like a form of like little Bigfoot, like we talked about.
Little Bigfoot.
Well, little Albatwitch are actually the little Bigfoot. They're known for the whistling, actually.
That
we heard.
Fucking horrifying.
And they're the ones that you're like, you know, if you see a Bigfoot, you should probably like, make your way out of the air. You see an Albatwitch, you need to bolt.
That's why we left when we did.
Yeah, you need to run because they're gonna mess you up.
Yeah.
But and you know, it might not end well.
You think three people could take one?
Well, I don't think so.
Well, we would have been screwed then.
There were five of us, but you know.
Yeah.
There were five. I don't think five could take them either.
Interesting.
Especially since two of us were fat. Or three of us were fat. One of us was scrawny, and one of us was semi-fit and played baseball.
Well.
I don't think we would have done well.
Listen, man. All you gotta do is run faster than the fat guys, right? So we would have been screwed.
I think we didn't know who would have been last in line there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what it is, man. I could probably take him.
Maybe. Who knows?
I got that shit.
You might outmatch him. They're like 4 feet tall. You might be able to outmatch him.
Choke him out. Put him in a fucking...
Wrap him up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, a lot of, you know, there's a lot of synchronicity in, like, the way that these things work. And a lot of, like, similarities in the way things work.
Yeah.
Right, with like these different paranormal entities, like I mean, Bigfoot kind of plays into the Mothman encounter. There were no Bigfoot sightings. Well, like there was one cryptid sighting. I don't think it was a Bigfoot. It was somewhat similar sounding, but I think it's the Grafton Horror or the Grafton Monster. I think is the one that was in the area about a year before.
What's it that? Was
described as like a headless monster that a guy saw. On the road, you're driving on the road, and he saw the monster. It was like headless or whatever.
Interesting.
Scurried off the road into the woods, and I think it was seen two or three times, but this was before there had been any paranormal flap in the area, right? Yeah. Before the Mothman incident.
I find that interesting because Brad had brought up Japanese folklore, and I think headless spirits in that folklore, and I'd have to read more about it.
There's headless spirits in like every folklore.
Right, I didn't know that. I mean, I'd only read
the headless about the headless horseman is like a piece of folklore.
That's true. Yeah.
You mean times I've killed a headless horseman in World of Warcraft? Every October.
You too, man.
Never played well.
You're better off.
Yeah, I know. it was the subscription thing for me.
Yeah.
It's the content for me now. Christ, the game's
fucking the content's terrible now.
You got dragon people. They're kind of like scalies. They put a furry race in all over.
Why does scalies sound like slur?
Doesn't it? I think the newest expansion's pretty all right. I just, the whole, this is going to get nerdy for about 30 seconds. The whole fact that they've spent three or four expansions basically, Sylvanas, you know, oh my god, she's the greatest hero ever. She goes and does all this cool shit. She burns down the elf world tree and then she kills like the Lich King again. Then she opens up the portal to hell and then like she like it's literally four expansions of her. And then there's like content. Now, like there's the stories behind her.
No dragon.
You lost me. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a character in the
I figured that.
I am glad that they departed from that a little bit more.
Yeah, but four fucking expansions basically after Pandaland that they did this shit, and it's ridiculous.
Bro,
but I think it's one of those things where the game's been going on for far too long, they should just kill it.
I don't know, EverQuest doesn't have this problem. Their fans don't complain as much.
Yeah, because everybody that plays EverQuest is the same. The people that play EverQuest are the same people that would play EVE Online, where they get, like, excited about Excel spreadsheets and min-maxing fucking, like, their intellect and their charisma shit, right? You take people that are really into D&D, and then you give them, like, Adderall, and you get EVE Online players, and you get EverQuest players.
Yeah.
Well, we've gone on our, necessary tangent.
Anyway,
we go on every single episode. We go on some sort of tangent about something, whether it's film or video games or
that's just how podcasts whatever, do.
It's just how it is. But yeah, the Mothman and wow, yeah, maybe the. I wonder if there's been like a. I know like Mothman's like a pop culture thing now.
It is, yeah. He was in Fallout 76.
He was. I remember hearing that. I didn't play that.
And either, it's a really
the Grafton Monster was it. Actually no the Grafton Monster was in Fallout 76 as well.
Was it really?
I believe. I'm going to look this up, but I believe the Grafton Monster was also in Fallout 76 because it's set in West Virginia.
Yeah. I dig
Grafton
that.
Grafton Monster Fallout 76. It's a gigantic, hairless, gray creature with a disproportionately large upper torso and arms, stumpy legs, and enormous three-fingered fist.
Just shit. Yeah,
too bad they gave a shit.
Yeah. I wonder how many people we pissed off with that.
The Grafton Monster is like... I think Fallout 76 has given us the proof we need to prove that that is a West Virginia cryptid.
Yeah.
If you honestly think Fallout 76 was a good game at launch, you are snorting the largest bag of copium that you could get your hands on.
I don't know if it was a good game at launch. I don't know if it was a good game now. I have no idea.
It was shit then. It's probably still shit now.
It is still shit now.
Okay.
Then again, I have to give them a little bit of credit because they've never made a multiplayer game before, so I give them a little bit of slack, but, like, there's, like, a whole fucking tirade I can go on about that where they promise things and it's not there, and you can get in... There's literally a pre-orderable physical item that they either didn't ship or they did ship and it was made by, like... fucking sweatshop workers where it was trash.
We're talking about the bag.
Yeah,
I have a whole Bethesda multiplayer tirade as well, but I'll save that for later for the podcast. But
I bought Starfield, by the way. I think it's pretty good.
I'm not a fan.
That, I think the last podcast as well.
I started playing it, and it does not run well for me. Unfortunately, a lot of people.
That's because you're poor.
Guess so. Anyway,
yeah, I guess we are. Imagine that.
Literally. It's the rich people's problem. Just buy a new computer. Build a new computer based around a 4070 and get over it.
Todd Howard, a cryptid himself, honestly, said to just buy a new graphics card.
Did he actually?
Yeah, he said.
That's wild.
You know, we've always been pushing technology to its limits, and it's like, yeah, okay, bud.
Maybe people should stop trying to run their... I mean, honestly, maybe people should stop trying to run video games on a Pentium or a Core Duo processor from 2002.
Listen.
But that's such a ignorant fucking statement to say. It's a, that's literally on par with Blizzard being like, you guys have phones, don't you?
Yeah, it's... Because other companies have done that before. But anyway, yeah, we could get back to the topic of him. Maybe we should do an episode of us talking about this kind of stuff. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I'll talk about the only game I played for like an hour.
I mean, hey, you know.
Hell, imagine that.
Yeah.
But,
so no, there I was in Western France, reliving my father's glory days as a German infantryman.
Yikes.
Hope
okay
not.
Then let's go on to so speaking of things that happen, let's talk about the Native American and the Indians. So the Indians, there's the Indians tie into this as well. American Indians, that
really,
is not
really.
not the South Asian Indians. They do actually.
What, the baseball team out of Cleveland?
Yeah, the baseball team out of Cleveland ties.
I'm surprised they didn't rename themselves to the Cleveland baseball team yet.
We should have, honestly. The fucking Guardians is such a stupid name.
Yeah.
Christ.
What do you call it? So one of the ideas is that there's some lore in the area of what's his name? I want to say corn pop, but I don't think it's corn pop. I think it's corn bowl or something like that, or corn something.
Corn pop is the Joe Biden.
I know corn pop is the Joe Biden thing. That's why I want to keep wanting to say corn pop. I think it's a corn stalk or corn hole or something like that. It's corn something.
And the great cornholio.
Well, no, he was murdered unjustly.
Oh,
as you know, as all murders are. And I never allegedly did get
his body through Left 4 Dead 2's campaign.
Okay.
Allegedly,
that was a gnome. Yeah, it was the gnome. Are you talking about pistachio or mustachio?
Once again,
I'm lost.
Dark Carnival. It's because you're not a gamer.
He was murdered unjustly, and allegedly he cursed the land that is Point Pleasant. And some people think that Mothman is the curse. But that being said, it's arguable that it's not a real legend that never actually happened, because the earliest example is from a school play in the area.
Oh.
People think it's older, but there's no evidence that it's older than that school play.
Yeah.
So that's just a little like side thing that people think. I don't think much credence has to be given to it, but
I don't know. There's a lot of mystery surrounding this one, I've noticed, which I find interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Mothman is on the same pedestal as Bigfoot when it comes to popularity and people like looking into it, because it's a tragedy of Point Pleasant, and it's the just weirdness of it, right? Like when you're talking about a mythical creature, you think two things. You think Bigfoot, you think Mothman, because there's just so much folklore and inertia behind the legend of the creatures that everybody's like, oh yeah.
It's in shows, movies, and games and stuff.
Yeah. When I talk to people about like cryptids and shit, I usually get three: Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, or Mothman. And usually it's Bigfoot and Mothman, because I don't have very many friends in Europe that talk about the Loch Ness. Most of them just think that it's a scam for locals to get money out of tourists, which I do too. But
probably is, to be honest.
Yeah,
we can do an episode on swamp monsters and.
I mean, think about it, right? I think the most confining cryptid you could have is something in the water, because the water has a set depth, right? Like, even if you're talking about something in the ocean, like, there's no, like, it's, well, actually, no, the ocean would be a lot harder. If you're talking about something about in a lake, it's like, at some point, you're going to find it, because it's either going to wash up on the shore dead, or you're going to take a submersible down there and bump around until find it, or you find nothing.
Unless MI6 came over and just fucking swooped it up.
They'd be using that as like a super weapon against the Russians or something for like mind clearing.
Yeah, maybe.
I'd like Nessie to point for out, mind clearing. Wild. I'd like to point out that the sightings, they happen along the Ohio River, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ohio River is a hotbed of the paranormal on its own. I mean, the biggest thing that happened along the Ohio is obviously Mothman. There's a lot of Bigfoot sightings in like towns near the Ohio. Not on the Ohio River, but we'll do an episode on this someday too. The Loveland Frogmen.
I read a wiki page about this because I was.
Oh, I love the Loveland Frogmen. He looks like frogs with wands.
Yeah,
but that's not on the Ohio River, but it's on the Little Miami River, and the Little Miami River connects to the Ohio River, so it's the same like watershed.
So are you telling me that Ohio is just creating cryptids out of fucking toxic water?
Only the Ohio River is. I'm not telling you Ohio is.
Oh, I mean, all right, it's all downstream from Ohio, correct?
No. Not necessarily. Well, kind of. I mean, more of them are. The more of the cryptids are probably found in Pennsylvania, Kentucky, and West Virginia.
Close enough. Ohio.
But you know,
he's just trying to find a way to shit on my state.
Yeah, I am trying.
I really don't. You know, your state's terrible. A swamp.
The swamp. Drain the swamp. I have all the fresh water in the country. Fuck you.
I read about the frogman, and I saw a picture of it. It was fucking hilarious. I have a
Loveland Frogman patch. I'll show you at some point. It's actually pretty funny. They're like frogs with wands. It's wild.
The
I like to picture them with like star hats on, like purple hats with like stars on them and ropes. But you know,
well, it just reminds me of like the little pictures of frogs in hats with like guitars and stuff. Like
I like the toads with like the suits on.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
But
Yeah, but like the Ohio is like a paranormal hotspot, and bodies of water are typically associated with paranormal. Even Bigfoot, like one of the first questions researchers will ask, like if you talk about Bigfoot sightings, like, oh, did your sighting happen near any body of water? And people will be, yeah, there was a river, or yeah, there was a creek or a lake or a pond.
Well, they view water to be like this like outlet for the paranormal, right? Like,
well, here's interesting. I actually I'd never thought about this before. Shout out to the Strange and Familiars podcast. One of them, I believe Timothy Renner brought it up. Maybe it was James on the Strange Familiars. I'm not sure which one. But someone brought it up, and they pointed out that the, like, cryptids, of course, a lot of them, they're known for being in, like, liminal spaces. Right. So spaces of transition. And, like, folklore-wise, liminal spaces are where paranormal things are more likely to happen. I had never thought about rivers and, like, creeks like this, but they're the ultimate liminal space.
They are, yeah.
Because with any moving body of water, the ecosystem and, like, the terrain around it is constantly changing because of the flow of the water.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes sense that if this is the ultimate liminal space, you would have a lot of sightings along these spaces. And obviously, water plays a big role in, like folklore around the world. Like if you go to Europe, like especially England, you can find Bronze Age, Early Iron Age water deposits, water hoard deposits. And it's they would throw as like an offering, they would throw swords and like weapons into the river in great amounts to offer to the tutelary goddess of the river, most likely. But I just think that it's interesting that like people have a connection with water and connect like the paranormal, the supernatural with water.
Yeah,
it's like Aztecs throwing people into a creek or a pit or whatever to like appease their gods during the downfall of the Aztec Empire.
Right, Christians baptize
in water. Yeah,
in water. It's like in the River Jordan,
where Jesus was baptized.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of connections with water, and I think I'd be remiss to not point out that the area in Pennsylvania with the probably the largest density of Bigfoot sightings is along the Susquehanna River and its many creeks.
This river, what a nice place.
And it's interesting to just somewhat of a side note to point out that when I was heard the we have a little addendum to the last week's episode about Bigfoot is that I happened to listen to a podcast I'd never listened to before. Two episodes in, a guy talks about a sighting in the area that me and Nick were in when we had our like whistling incident from the 1800s, where a kid was in the woods and came across a whistling like little foot, not a big foot, a little foot.
Yeah.
So 3 to 5 feet tall, 4 feet tall, creature whistling. Which is interesting because then you connect it with the Owlettwitch legend in southeastern Pennsylvania. And the Owlettwitches, it's like, they're not called that anywhere else, but they are essentially little feet or little foots. And they have a whistling thing associated with them. And they're associated a lot with the Susquehanna River and being around it. And the area that we were is actually not, it's not in southeastern PA near where the Owlettwitches are, but it's not far from the Susquehanna.
Yeah.
We were probably only 10 miles from the Susquehanna when this happened. So,
well,
that's a connection, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
But see, like, that's like the power of rivers is like, or like the locality of rivers is like a, you know, it's a liminal space where lots of paranormal things happen.
And to be fair, we're near a lake as well.
It's true. We were near a body of water, yeah.
And, you
know, largely. And just, so.
This could bring it back down to reality a little bit. Animals do tend to stay around bodies of water, although this one is inhabited by people, so usually they kind of skirt the edge. You never know, right? Like, it could have been.
One side is uninhabited, one side's a nature reserve. Not the side that we were on, but the opposite side of the lake is a conservancy.
Oh. God.
I mean, we walked up from the conservancy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Mm. You lagged there for a second and we thought Mothman got you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, Mothman, you did get me. I'm waiting to hear, like, a knock on my window and look out and see, like, big eyes.
I'd dap the fuck out of my boy, I'm not gonna lie.
I'd probably have a heart attack and die.
Open up the window, do, like, the gang sign of the handshake.
Yeah. Like, what's so much? Like, explain yourself. What are you doing here?
What you doing here?
I got money on my phone because I'm always talking about money. I got money around my neck because I'm always wearing my money.
You've lost me once again.
Fucking retards.
Not a rap guy. Don't know rap.
It's not a rap. It's a meme. It's a meme.
I don't know the meme either.
Okay, you're not cultured.
I'm not. You're right. You make fun of me for being a zoomer, but I'm like not cultured at all.
I know exactly what Brett's talking
about. I remember the olden days when Vine Boom wasn't just a sound effect; it was a fucking app.
It was a lifestyle, brother.
The lifestyle.
Anyway, I think everybody has
shift gears to Dog Man.
You can.
How much time have we done?
We've only done an hour. We did a couple hours past couple times. So.
We did like an hour and a half, hour 20 last time. We could. There's more on Mothman we could go into as well, probably. But
I don't know. You said somebody.
Yeah, but do we ever?
Was an information we ever hit hazard, everything? And I'm a little afraid of that.
What do you mean it's an information hazard?
He's talking about SCP, like SCP memes.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know those either. Sorry.
God, you
suck. I know the SCP like short movies, and some of the SCP.
Generally, like info hazard means like it's dangerous to know about. Less you get.
You know. That's pretty much all of it.
Dope.
I mean, that's pretty much like all of the Mothman stuff. Is like people that research it have like weird occurrences.
Well, let's not go too much deeper then.
Yeah, we've probably gone too deep already. Just I did put that disclaimer in the beginning.
How about we shred this? No, I'm joking.
Oh, I think it's too late for that, but
no, I don't think we went that deep into it. I'm just gonna.
What did you just put in the chat, Brad?
Don't worry about it.
Okay, all right. Okay, no context to that, but we call it. Yeah, I mean, we can go into Dogman. There's a lot behind Dogman, though, and I think like this could be like a we could start Dogman, and we could like a brief Dogman thing here, and
I got one more. Could, like, this is not could, safe like, for the
finish Dogman I got, off later.
I got one. I got one more.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Now. I mean, we can go into the Dogman thing. It's a pretty interesting one.
Yeah.
It arguably kind of ties in with Bigfoot. It's not Bigfoot, but it ties in. The Dogman, obviously, it's got a, what do you call it? Pulled legs or hocked legs, something like that. Like the back legs of a dog where they're like bent weird. You know, but stands on two legs, bent weird, similar size to a Bigfoot. Much more aggressive. Much more aggressive.
Yeah, so I've heard.
Violent.
And I've heard a couple of stories that kind of corroborate with how it acts.
Yeah, long snouts, but not to be confused with long-snouted Bigfoot from Western Canada. Because that's a thing as well. And they're also violent and aggressive, but they don't have the hackled legs.
What I find interesting about I read up on Cajun folklore.
The Rougarou we're talking about here? I remember my being exposed to that through Supernatural when we watched that.
Yeah. Because I started running a Apocalypse World
powered, right, tabletop.
Or powered by the Apocalypse game called Monster of the Week for the guys. And I had to do some research into that. And that is a wolf-like creature, according to
lore. It is. I believe it's generated by a curse, isn't it?
Yeah. And also it comes after the good little Catholic boys who don't practice Lent for 7 straight years. So
fascinating.
Which
7's an influential number as well, which is interesting.
It's similar to vampirism and like the werewolf stuff too. Right? But
yeah.
Dogman has been spotted like all over the fucking country from what I've seen. Kind of like
Bigfoot I think the hotspot is probably Michigan or Kentucky. But it's everywhere.
So
I don't know if any local us.
There was one in Mexico. There was a there was a sighting in Mexico where the where these guys were hauling something in a truck, and they were on a back road in the country of Mexico, and their truck got like attacked by dogmen.
It's like freaking Blood Meridian or something like that.
Yeah.
That's why things in the woods. Mexico. What were you gonna say, Brad? There's one where?
There was a report I read where this dude was like trapped in his house by a bunch of dogmen like figures, and it would he would like shoot at him with his gun, and they would like use light beams and shoot the bullets out of the air and shit. It was kind of crazy.
That one I've never heard of anything like that. Yeah. That's insane.
Oh yeah.
That guy was
this dude was like they killed my dog and like strung it up out in the front yard as a warning, and then like at night they would make like whistling sounds, so I would shoot at them and they would use like the force and knock bullets out of the air and shit, and I was okay,
they're shooting light beams. I think the man's on E and he's seeing tracers.
Yeah, probably.
He was on ecstasy. He's seeing tracers.
I think he might be in a shootout with the cops, man.
Yeah,
the frog people got ARs.
Yeah, I mean, I never heard anything wild like that. I've always heard Dogman as like a similar to like the whole ape in the woods idea. Like, yeah, it's like
he's very animalistic. Obviously. Attacks in the dead of night.
Very
aggressive.
Nocturnal, arguably, but
attracted to food allegedly, because one of the sightings was a taco truck. And this
Wait,
guy,
really?
Yeah,
it's a taco truck.
And this guy set up a camera outside of his taco truck, because these dents kept showing up on the side of his truck, and he swears up and down that he saw
Dogman
attack his truck and like fucking put like huge holes and dents in the side of it. This is employees were leaving like food scraps around.
That's rough.
He has since left the taco business, so he didn't do it for like free publicity for his taco truck. And
okay, that's good to know.
He said that the feds or the cops or something said that he can't share the footage.
Not allowed, of course not. From him. Because that would just make sense.
That's pretty convenient, to be honest. So. That's the thing. There's like never any good footage. Like Patterson-Gimlin is like the best footage we have of any sort of phenomenon.
Right.
There's
you
no
know what it actually is? It was Chipotle hiring a bunch of people to beat up the dude's taco truck because he was in their turf.
Yeah,
I actually wouldn't be too surprised.
Honestly, who knows? You know,
you never know with corporations.
They could have Dogman on speed dial. Be like, hey man, I need you to rough this guy up.
We'll get you a nice bowl.
But,
hey, Dogman, I need you to take this person out and give them a good time. Yeah. They need to be doing business here.
There's a handful of things like that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Like, there was a dude who lived in a trailer who had a similar experience where he would, like, fucking aggressively, like, slam against the trailer. He killed his dog and all that, like...
Yeah, that's the rough one. That's similar with Bigfoot. It's a lot of things, these large bipedal things in the woods are known for killing dogs.
Yeah.
The most prominent story I've heard is actually a documentary. Let me see if I can find the documentary name. It might be Expedition Dog. Oh, no. Hunt the Dog Man. High Strangeness in Western Kentucky, maybe? No.
I did hear about Expedition Dog Man.
I think it's Expedition Dog Man.
We should watch that.
Expedition. I've watched it. It's pretty good. It's Expedition Dog Man. So they go... So I'll just read like the synopsis here. I won't read it, I'll summarize. They go on a thing with a man named Kyle who had an encounter when he was 15 with the dog man in the woods. And then Daniel Boone National Forest in Kentucky. The dog, he had some coon dogs and they were trying to attract some raccoons to a tree. And when there was a battle of some coyotes between the dogs, and when the guy arrived after the fight, the dogs had won, but he thought he saw his dog attacking a coyote, but it was actually a dog man had chased the coyotes off and messed up a bunch of his dogs.
Huh.
And he ran, and he said he was very emotional when he was saying it. He said He, the dog man didn't go after his dogs. The dog man went after him, and his one of his dogs like rushed it and like tried to take it down.
Wow.
And like his dog swarmed it and tried to kill it. And I think it may have killed one of his dogs, but one of them survived and was found a couple days later by someone who returned it to him. And the dog was lame, essentially, would never like hunt again, I don't believe. Aww. But yeah, like the dog like saved his life, apparently.
That's why you always carry 30-06.
Well, he had a gun. He was hunting.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just didn't really do anything. You know, it's like you don't shoot at the dog, man. Much like you don't shoot a Bigfoot. Like, not people claim to drop bodies, but, like, they never. And then they claim, like, helicopters come and pick them up. But I think it's more likely that when you drop one, like, I don't think you can drop them since the gun.
No.
I don't know about Dogman. I'm not as convinced of whether they're physical creatures or not. Bigfoot, I don't think it's a physical creature. I don't think it's a non-physical creature, but I don't think it's like a bear or something like that, ape in the woods sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Dogman might be, but I don't know.
The stories that I've read about, it seems like it would be a physical creature.
Yeah, with the exception of Brad's one with like the lasers, but
yeah, but that one sounds like a crackhead because everything else is kind of very similar to.
I think that was that wasn't a History Channel thing. That was some dude recanting a story on YouTube. So it probably was just like some crackhead that was fighting some other crackhead with glow sticks or something.
Yeah,
it probably was. Yeah, here's the thing: is with Bigfoot, you hear all the other high strangeness attached and all the other 14 things attached to it. I don't know too much about Dogman. I don't know.
I've never really
heard of anything like attached. Like I've never heard of UFOs with Dogman.
Every story I heard, they never rock throwing. Reported.
I've only ever really heard of like essentially the encounter with an encounter with what it essentially presents as like a really violent animal.
Yeah, like I've
like a jackal.
So I listened to about an hour of stories about Dogman, and it was just different accounts, and it was all very similar of their. Like, houses getting, like, banged up, them, like, aggressively attacking shit, like, trying to get in. But they never get in. They never get inside.
No. No. And that could indicate something paranormal.
Yeah, it could.
Because the paranormal things often don't really cross thresholds.
Yeah.
Your house...
That's
why
I brought up the Rougarou. Right.
Which they often come on the porches, but they don't enter the door.
Yeah. The Rougarou I find interesting, like just as a piece of folklore in general, because it plays in like the whole like voodoo and all that.
Yeah,
all the black magic stuff that
all that voodoo stuff
that they practice down in Louisiana and like
and the Caribbean islands and Caribbean all that islands. Stuff. Yeah,
but the description matches. With, like, a werewolf, which, and I would assume...
It matches relatively similarly. There's no transformation.
No.
And not really wolf. I think they're more often described kind of like a mastiff or something like that than a werewolf. But,
I didn't read that, but...
They're definitely described as dog, not wolf.
I had read on the wiki page, which obviously could be... unreliable, that they were described as wolf-like, but I'm not sure.
It's possible. I mean, it's possible that it could change regionally, too.
And the way that the people down there, they have a Rougarou festival. The way that they depict them, it's, like, very wolf-like. Like, black dog.
Yeah.
Like, Twilight?
Legs.
Rougarou is certainly much closer to a werewolf than like a dog man, I think, because Rougarous are curse generated. Werewolves are also curse generated.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they share similarities to
a form of lycanthropy.
Yeah, they share similarities to vampires as well, because they allegedly suck blood. You stake them with Cypress dipped in dead man's blood.
Interesting.
Which to kill them allegedly.
Yeah, minor blacktrack. Backtrack, not blacktrack. Yikes. Minor backtrack. Mothman is also associated with blood as well.
Hmm.
But and the drinking of blood.
That's interesting.
In fact, it attacked a UFO attacked a blood donation man during that flood. Interesting. Wild. But
bro was like, yo, I'm set for life.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, I don't think they got the blood, but like, wild. But you know, like, yeah, there's definitely the Ruru has definitely has like an association with Catholicism and blood.
But I find
which, it... I mean, Catholicism has a lot of blood imagery as well in it.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I see the parallel between like wolf and like dog like creatures and stuff, and like interesting, right? To see like all of that throughout like the Midwest and Appalachians. There's like,
yeah.
There's allegedly sightings of it in of stuff in Louisiana like that. I didn't read too much into that because I was doing research more so on like the history of it, so I can write it for the thing I was doing.
Yeah, but it's an interesting one, most definitely, and it's definitely tangentially related to the Dogman and the Werewolf and stuff like that in the sense that it is similar in like appearance.
But again, there's no high strangeness attached to the Dogman that I could see, at least.
Well, I think no, not to the Dogman. I mean, the Ruger is all high strangeness.
But yeah, but that's the thing. I think
the Dogman doesn't really appear to have any high strangeness attached. Now, I could be wrong. Now, I will say in this documentary, they have a weird instance with trees shaking.
Right.
Like not just one tree, like a whole like grove of trees start violently shaking on a windless day. And it is far stretched for one dog man to be shaking like 12 to 15 trees. But like it that was odd, and it's arguably high strangeness, but there is not a lot of high strangeness associated. Like I've never heard of an encounter with like orbs of light and stuff like that. And maybe I just don't know enough about it. I suspect we probably just don't know enough about
maybe
it.
Because
with most of these things, if you dig deep enough, you're going to find high strangeness.
Yeah.
You're going to find things that don't correlate with just a thing in the woods.
I don't know. But regardless, I wouldn't want to run into it.
No, definitely not. And I think maybe this is something that we can do more research on and revisit at some point. Because I think only one of us researched. I think you're the only one that researched the dog, man.
Probably.
So.
Yeah, I'll show you the video that some of these accounts came from. We can see if we can go backtrace them, like where the guy found them.
Yeah, we can do a little bit of independent research in that way.
We could talk about it. I just find it interesting, and a lot of the people like they either like go out of business with that guy's taco truck. The dudes won't like who are on the backcountry road. Like they won't go back to that at night. They'll only drive during the day.
Over there. No.
I
mean, that's common with, like, paranormal things like that. Yeah.
Like for me, I don't want to go out in the middle of your woods ever again. PA, to be honest.
I've foolishly done it before, but I've never gone that far up again.
Yeah.
So I get some nitrogen goggles and some incendiary rounds, and we're gonna fix everything.
Well,
you know what? That's, you know, sounds good. Let's make it happen.
But. Yeah,
I mean,
that's all I got for Dogman, to be honest.
Yeah, truthfully, I don't have a ton either. I mean, I think it's something we should revisit at some point in the future.
Bigfoot had a lot more articles written on it because it's a lot more popular. I couldn't find a lot of articles written on Dogman.
Dogman's so little niche. I don't think like it's really in the popular culture.
No.
Like the ones in the popular culture, like Nessie, Bigfoot, Mothman, Wendigos, Chupacabra.
Yeah.
Aliens, stuff like that. You know, Bigfoot's not. Dogman's not popular culture, really.
What about Wendigo and the Wachuge?
We could definitely talk about that at some point. Yeah, we'll figure out once again. As always, we'll figure out after the episode what we're going to talk about next week because we don't plan these out more than a week in advance.
No, we don't. We probably should, but we don't. I'm not even done editing the first episode, man. I'm not gonna lie.
I know. Yeah, I know.
It's rough. I got a lot of...
We started recording in August.
Yeah. I got a lot of schoolwork, so these are going to be slow going, but that's why we're recording so many in advance. I'm going to edit them down, and we're going to start releasing them.
So, yeah.
Unfortunately, if we do get comments, we won't be able to respond to them in a lot of these.
Yeah,
to a certain point, and then once we get into a... You know,
once we get into a groove.
Groove, we'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, so that was the Mothman and that was Dogman, I guess. Yeah. Do we have anything else to add here?
Not really.
No, I think we hit both of them. I think we hit both of them pretty well.
We can mention the concept of skinwalkers and like black dogs and like, you know, any other dogs.
Black dogs, definitely. And skinwalkers, yeah, that ties. Dogs are a big motif. Yeah, you'll like, find that throughout.
There's a lot of ties stuff like that, but nothing ever just like animalistic. And I find that
I think
that's where we could probably leave.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for joining us for this episode of Auditory Hallucinations on the Mothman and the Dogman.
We're still not real. This is all hallucinating.
I hate both of you.
I've hallucinated you for years.
Well, if you're not real, you can't hate us. So, bye.